today you all get to study what the Devis are studying, okay? Yatin, you can hear me, correct? And see me? Okay, we're all ready here? Okay. I won't be able to move my screen, so if we can't see each other, that's your call. Hariom, yes.
Just got a slight lag in the video.
Okay.
He's catching up, but there's a slight lag in the video.
Sure, I'm using the ashram Wi-Fi. So it may not be so strong. So type it in the chat room if it's not clear, because then we'll have to turn off video then, okay? Fine?
Yes, okay.
Hariom, and good morning from Atlanta. I recently read some of Pooja Swami Vivekananda's writings and facilitated a retreat based on these writings, and that retreat was entitled Being Your Best, and the slogan was YOLO. What does YOLO stand for? You only live once. Being your best, you only live once. And it sounds very catchy. But what does this mean? Our shlokas are very rhythmic, but what do they mean? Being your best, what this means is growing the most. Being your best is growing the most, and you only live once, then is giving the most. If you know a certain gift certificate is going to expire, don't you use all of it before it expires, irrespective of you needing what you bought? Yeah, everyone's relating deeply with that. But when it comes to life, no, we don't get it. So you only live once is giving the most. Growing the most and giving the most. When you bring these together, this is called finding your calling. It is comprehensive. It's not just growing, but it's giving. It's not just giving, but it's growing to give. This is when we start to love who we are. And when you love who you are, you start to love what you do. Then we have a love for life. Not a lust for life, a love for life. Growing, giving. This is the flow of loving who we are, loving what we do, loving life. What is the vision of Vedanta? This subject that we spend so much time, invest so much time in, what is the vision? Vedanta's vision is that the Jiva, Jagat, and Jagadishvara are one. Me, all of you, and Bhagavan Rama are all one. And how do we reach that oneness? Because it doesn't feel like that right now. Is love. In a secular way, when we use the word love, it tends to be very, I use the word Gandharva. It tends to be on the surface, body, mind, intellect. But in the sacred environment, love is that which is uniting all of us. That love is oneness, and that oneness is is love. Now, not all of us can give love like this. But we should begin, right? Not all of us can run 10 kilometers, so we begin with 1 kilometer. Not all of us can go to 5 Devi retreats, so we come to 1 Devi retreat. Begin. Sanatana Dharma is not about revolution, rather about evolution. It is our blessing to be exposed to this training in love. Otherwise, there's just the expectation that you should love. But if we don't know what love is, how can we invoke that? How can we evoke that? If we felt blessed on Friday before any of these teachings came, we should all just be in samadhi right now, in feeling this gratitude. All we need is love. The Beatles were a very profound band. Tomorrow's John Lennon's birthday. And the Beatles also said a saying, can't buy my love, correct? All we need is love, and all we can give is love. You can give materials, you can give experiences, but what people need, what we can give is love. And another understanding of love is courage. The opposite of love is fear, not hatred. It is fear. In love, there is no separation. In fear, there is separation. Now, for me to say we're going to become fearless, that we can't relate to that. Fearlessness means there is no source of fear. But courage is there's fear, but I'm facing it. So what is it that we all need? We all need courage, right? Public speaking. What can we give? The best you can give to your family, to your friends, to your corporation, to your country is courage. And that's what this retreat is about. That's what we're being trained in. And it reminds me of what Pujaswami Tej Ramayananda shares. Don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. If you can visualize that Bhagavan is beside you, behind you, and if you're Prince Arjuna, he's in front of you. How Bhagavan Krishna used to lift that chariot and lower that chariot and move it to the right and move it to the left. And Arjuna felt he was the champion, and he is a champion, but only because Bhagavan was in front of him. When Arjuna says, not only will I not fight, I will not speak, Bhagavan is there to fight for him, to speak for him. Feel Bhagavan's presence with you, you will go from courage to fearlessness. Yesterday we studied the 5th letter from Pujaswami Chinmayananda's I Love You letters. And there we tried to understand how we need to go from sneha to prema. Sneha is love for the lower, so it makes me lower. Prema is love for the higher, so it makes me higher. So the summary of Shloka 5 is evolve. We have to understand evolution and then evolve accordingly. And what was the sadhana from the 5th letter? Think of thinking. We have thoughts, which are unconscious, but thinking is conscious. When we think of thinking, we shift from karma to karma yoga. Because our attitude becomes refined, becomes directed. In the 6th letter, Pujaswami Chinmayananda is teaching us that only peace can bring peace. And we all need peace, so then why do we invest so much in position and possession and pleasure? Every shloka in the Atma Bodha course talks about change. To show us, we need to invest more intelligently. The summary for letter six is give. There's no peace in getting. There is peace in giving. And we have lots of worldly examples and sacred examples of that. Write to Rishi Dadichi, who gave up his bones to help the devas. And the sadhana for letter six was? Give before getting. Positive, not negative. I give one of these before I get one of these. Positive. We now move to letter seven, and we have to cover six letters in 45 minutes. That's why I said, what time did you sleep last night? Try to listen carefully and try to repeat after me. Padapanam bhayam vatat. Padmanam shishirad bhayam. Parvatanam bhayam vajrat. Sadhunam durjanad bhayam. Together. Padapanam bhayam vatat. Padmanam shishirad bhayam. Parvatanam bhayam vajrat. Sadhunam durjanad bhayam. Padapanam is cows, and cows have bhaya of vatat is storms. Padmanam, lotuses have bhayam or fear of winter, cold. Just like people who live in Atlanta, right? You're scared of the Northeast. Most of our study groups are from the Northeast. We're just tougher. You're all thinking, we're just more intelligent. Parvatanam bhayam vajrat. What are mountains scared of? A lightning bolt. This is a Puranic story of a lightning bolt cutting the wings of a mountain. Not important. Sadhunam durjanad bhayam. And what are noble people afraid of? Durjana, people who don't want to grow. Evil is a very religious in a not healthy term. Evil, wicked. It's people who don't want to grow. That is someone who is durjana. And sujana is those who want to grow. So it's not about scaling. I'm like this and you're like this. If I want to grow and you don't, that actually shows that I'm sujana and someone else is durjana. Our anguish in life shouldn't be what university our kids are going to go to, that they're increasing my property taxes, how many Balavera students are in my center. Our anguish in life should be adharma. When I'm cheating myself, leave alone you, when I'm being tamasic, all of that should cause me fear. For someone who wants to grow, that's what they're scared of. They're not scared of people. They're scared of fear. That's quite different, isn't it? We assign our fear of people, but really we should be afraid of being afraid. And this requires us to grow up from being emotional to being sensitive. The Sanskrit word for sensitive is ahimsa. Himsa means violence or selfishness. The only perspective I have is my perspective. And the person who commits the most himsa only believes they're the body. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's it. Not that they are merry, but eat and drink. But for someone who's sensitive, they know they also have an intellect. They know there's more to life than meets the eye. And for other people also, right? If I only identify with my body, I only see your body. That's why we call this a Devi retreat, more biologically. But Devi means illumination. It's just the men are not interested. They are also illumination. To have anguish for a dharma, it requires us to be sensitive And as we practice this, Pujaswami Chinmayananda says, live proudly. Not live with pride, but proudly that, look, I'm trying to be more selfless. I'm waking up earlier. And you don't broadcast that. But we're always focusing on what we are not doing. Here, Swami Chinmayananda is saying, focus on what you are doing. Our rad was, tell someone you don't like that you don't like them. But it didn't end there, correct? It was, but I'm going to try to like you. In a secular setting, it would be, I don't like you. See ya. But in a sacred setting is, I'm going to try to like you, to love you, to be proud of that. To be proud that you spent a full weekend here in self-development. And Swami Chinmayananda, I assure you, others will be moved by your cheerful living. People keep asking me, how has your life changed since Vyasa? And I say, it's refreshing. He spends so much time just playing with his hands. Right? It's so fascinating for him that he has hands. He almost looks like an artist, like a Bharatanatyam dancer. So Sheila keeps, you know, saying that. It's refreshing. He doesn't take for granted anything. And that helps me to just be more grateful too. So he's moving me. And he can't say a single word. We, through our proud living and loving, will move others, not according to our timeline. You're all thinking, yes, 1 year. Then my husband's will will come. Not like that. You work hard, Bhagavan will create the timeline accordingly. To evolve our love, to go from sneha to prema, many of you were asking, what is the methodology? There are four C's here that take us from sneha to prema, from dependence to independence. The first C is concern. When we start to have concern for another person, persons, that selfishness is breaking, correct? Deeper than concern is care. I'm concerned for you could still just be, don't get hurt. But I care for you is shifting to the positive, right? So it's deeper. The next C, which is more deep, is cherish. We care for a lot of people, but we don't cherish a lot of people. Yes? And the fourth C, which actually shifts us from prema to bhakti. Okay? This is the fulfillment of love, is compassion. Compassion, change those words to empathy, to love, to oneness. That takes us from masochism all the way to devotion. Now, there's lots to share about this, but we do not have that scope in this retreat. Be sure to read about these four C's. Not looking at your notes. What was the first C? Concern. I'm concerned about you remembering what I'm talking about right now. What was the second C?
Care.
Third C?
Cherish.
Cherish. And the fourth?
Compassion.
For all of our Moha Mudgara students, this is very much like bhaja. You go from singing to being. Same with these C's. If we start to love, what will follow? Joy. Just start to love. Any of these C's. Joy will follow because that's our need, isn't it? So the means to joy is love. The means to joy is Advaita. This is the science of happiness. No subject is more important. Which is why you should have went to sleep at 8:59. Here is your sadhana from the seventh letter. For all of the younger people who are listening right now, what is a term we use? See, I'm identifying with the young people. What is a term we use to share something is awesome? A new term we use. Lit, yes. Lit is, Urban Dictionary is wrong lit. This is the right lit. Lit is labor intensely, tirelessly. Labor intensely, tirelessly. Labor is that concern, that care, that cherish, that compassion. Labor intensely. And we require stamina, so we're following that with tirelessly. And a fine example of someone who's lit. Pick a shastra, not Bhagavan, of someone who's lit. From our shastras. Yes, Swami Chinmayananda? Bhishma. Bhishma Acharya. What was his original name? Devavrata. And then it became Bhishma. The gods started saying Bhishma. Bhishma, unfortunately, is interpreted as terrible. You know, imagine, I'm going to run 100 miles. Terrible, 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 right? Well, then I'm not going to. Bhishma means intense. And Bhishma was intense. Puja Gurudev, he says the hero of the Mahabharata, unknown hero of Mahabharata is Bhishma. I would like to add a name there. Devaki Mata. She went through having 8 children knowing that they were going to be murdered. Killed and murdered are different intentions, and she still did it, not for her, correct? Talk about everything in I Love You letters, Devaki Mata. And she hardly got to be with Bhagavan Krishna. Heroes, heroines all over the place. If we think. So think of thinking. I'm on 8 on page 66. Nasti vidya samam chakshuhu. Satya samam, sorry, nasti satya samam sukham. Nasti raga samam dukkham. Nasti tyaga samam sukham.
Nasti tyaga samam sukham.
Together. Nasti vidya samam chakshuhu. Nasti satya samam sukham. Nasti raga samam dukham. Nasti tyaga samam sukham. These are all subhashitas, or words of wisdom, that help us to live our lives, to help us find our calling. Simple words. Na asti. There's nothing like vidya to the eyes. Na asti. There's nothing like truthfulness. Sorry, there's nothing like truthfulness for sukha, for joy. Na asti. There's nothing like raga, likes or lust for dukkha. So if I want to be happy, I should live truthfully. If I want to be unhappy, tips for unhappy living, have lots of likes in social media. Feel that FOMO, that fear of missing out. That's why I told you to shut off your Wi-Fi, right? Na asti, and there's nothing like tyaga. What does tyaga mean? Now you don't know. Tyaga means to be independent. There's nothing like independence for sukha. Do you need a commentary on this? Did you need a subhashitam for all of this? We all know this, but to follow this, we do need that guidance. Bahikarana is our hardware, the body. More important than that, more powerful than that, is the andhakarana, or the software. In this shloka, what is being brought up, that your software will determine if you know your calling, if you don't know your calling. It is not about the body, and the body is to be extrapolated as your circumstance. This city you live in, the gender that you are, how your parents raised you. It is your software. And if you go even deeper into this, past the antakarana is the vasanas. The coding for that software is even more independent of circumstance. So here, Gurudev is telling us, your calling is your calling. Your calling is not my calling. My calling is not your calling. Please think about your calling, which will shut down comparing. The word satya is used. What does satya mean? Truthfulness. What does truthfulness actually mean? Is it having an alibi that someone can prove that I was here? Truthfulness is living up to your convictions. I may tell you that your hair looks nice, but actually it's not. And you're thinking, you're to tell us that your hair doesn't look nice. But you get my point. Don't we do that? I know that I should get up earlier, but I don't. Duryodhana also knew but couldn't do so, asatya. Arjuna also knew that what to do and couldn't do it but asked for help. So he went from asatya to satya. Who determines satya? Not the courts, not attorneys. I'm saying this, my wife is an attorney. She also doesn't decide that. You do. In a more relative sense. Where is the grass the greenest? Atlanta. Peoria. Portland, it's always raining there. The grass is greenest where? You water it. You look at my life, certainly my grass is going to be the greenest. But I'm looking at your life and saying, you have a lot of fertilizer, I'm lacking that. Focus on your own life. In the Bhagavad Gita terms, we would say, don't focus on the field. What does chapter 13 focus on? Focus on the knower of the field. Don't focus on the kshetra. Focus on the kshetra jnaha. If you focus on the field, that's restricted to space-time matter. But not the person who's experiencing that space-time matter. Bringing this to helping us to find our calling, Pujya Gurudev brings out the word respect here. What does respect mean? Now no one will ever have an answer. What does respect mean? The root of this, the etymology of this word is to look at. Respect is to look at. People you disrespect, do you look at them? People you respect, you can't stop looking at them. And what this shows is when we respect someone, when we are looking at them, we do not expect to change them. Do not expect to change them. As long as I'm trying to change you, whose calling am I not focusing on? My calling. Finding your calling, so much of it is unlearning. So much of it is renouncing. What I'm used to respect someone is to not have the agenda to change them. I had heard when people get married that the husbands never want their wives to change, but they do, and their wives want their husbands to change right away, and they don't. So both are coming out negatively. It doesn't make a positive. They repel each other then. Be objective with your family, with your friends, with your work. They are who they are, no? On your sadhana related to this, I think you'll like this. Acceptance cures what? What's the opposite of acceptance? Anger. Acceptance cures anger. Who do you accept the most? Who do you get angry at the least? We don't really get angry at the weather because we accept it. We don't get angry at dogs for barking because we accept them. But if someone's just sitting a little bit too close to you, we've been here for 48 hours studying Advaita Vedanta, and you kind of keep elbowing them so you know, so they know, you know, that they're taking your space. Acceptance cures anger. Imagine this week you were free from frustration, free from anger. Would our life would be totally different. We wouldn't need to go on vacation. We would just be quiet. I'm on letter 9 now. We're doing pretty good for time. Everyone's following? Yes? All of the devas, you wish you were devis. Put in the effort. We'll have a deva retreat too. They're looking away as I say this. Yauvanam dana sampattihi.
Yauvanam dana sampattihi.
Prabhutvam avivekata.
Prabhutvam avivekata.
Ekaika kamam yat anarthaya. Ekaikam apyanarthaya. Kimu yatra chatushtayam. Together. Yauvanam dhana sampattihi. Prabhutvam avivekata. Ekaika kamapyanarthaya. Kimu yatra chatushtayam. Yauvanam. Yuva means to be youthful. That's pleasure. Dhana sambattihi, wealth. That is possessions. Prabhutvam, to be the lord, to be the king. In other words, position, to be the CEO, to be the boss, to be the supervisor. And avivekata, indiscrimination or wrong prioritization. Ekaika kamam anarthaya. Each one of these can be the cause for our destruction, or anarthaya means meaninglessness. If you read the Rad from 2 days ago, I said the heaviest weight to carry is meaninglessness. Imagine you were in a relationship with a friend that you put so much into, but they betray you. Or they never felt you to be the same way. You think, what was I doing? So meaningless this was for so long. Anarthaya. Kimu yatra chatushtayam. But for someone who has this living for pleasure, possession, position, and lack of prioritization, what happens to that person? They don't go to destruction. They never started. See, in the other cases, at least I went up and came down. But if I'm living like this, I've not lived. In this shloka, what is being shared is to not confuse the means as the ends. Pleasure, possession, position, they're means, but only peace can bring peace. To understand that these are all relative, and if I understand the relative, that also means I believe in the absolute. You can't just have the relative. There has to be the absolute. When I know deeply about change, I also now intellectually acknowledge that there is a changeless. Good enough. Intellectual is fine enough. It gets us on to the first step of that escalator. Then keep allowing yourself to go higher. Did you all get the Evachara last night? When I write the Evachara in my travels, I often save that into a Word document. Because you're putting so much thought into this, what if it doesn't get saved? Isn't that so frustrating? You put so much into this email or document, and then it just gets deleted. Isn't the way we live any different? It just doesn't get deleted in a minute. It gets deleted in 100 years. Maybe 25 years. Who knows? So keep saving. And who is your friend at death? Dharma. Finding your calling. So we're all in tune. What was the summary word from the first letter? Nature. Good. Nature. The second letter? This is my nature. I have to change towards it. Third letter? Prioritize. I'm changing that to important. This is important. Third is important. Fourth letter? Follow that which is important, which is changing towards your nature. First four letters. Letter five, the summary word is evolve. I have to evolve in this whole opportunity. And evolving looks like, what was the summary word for six? Give. The more we evolve, the more we give. The summary word for seven? To be sensitive. When we're sensitive, maybe we're giving, but we're not giving what another person needs. The best teachers don't teach what they want to teach. They teach what a student needs. To be sensitive, first to yourself and then to others. The summary word for eight, accept. As you're evolving, you're giving. Some people are going to praise you and some people are going to ridicule you. To accept people, because most of the time we don't find our calling because we're just so busy with people. The summary word for this ninth letter is focus. How many of you know what T25 is? This exercise program? Nobody? In this exercise program, someone had gifted that to Sheila and I. We didn't know to be happy or unhappy. But so many times he says, focus, focus, focus. And he's right. Because you're exercising at home. It's so easy. The internet is there. I'm thirsty. I need a chocolate shake right now. Not water. So focus. This means, what this focus is, independent of space, time, and matter, the purpose of us living is joy. Which is oneness, which is loving what you do, which is loving who you are, which is your comprehensive calling. It doesn't matter if you're healthy, if you're rich, if you're employed, if you're in a family. All of those are buts, B-U-T. All of those are cease and desist from excuses. In this shloka, what is being shared is the person who is indiscriminate depends to find their calling, to love themselves. Why do you need anyone else to love yourself? For someone who's practicing this, they don't shake by that which is shaking. They don't shake by... And this is how what I had heard is, you really know you love what you do if you would do it without pay. Now, for all of those in professional settings, would you go to work on Monday knowing that you're not going to get paid for work? Doubtful. Maybe one Monday, but for 50 Mondays. Now, some of us, we don't work in a professional setting. So let's call this looking after home or looking after our ashram. You love what you do if you would do it without praise. Without praise. That as you organize this retreat, if nobody ever says what a great job was done by the center, fine. We didn't organize this retreat for that. I'm not belittling this organization. And even with family. At that valedictorian speech when someone says, God help me, and my professors help me, and my coach help me, and my neighbor help me, and the person who sells me milk helps me. Then they look at you and look away. But you still smile back at them. Would you be okay with that? Would you still be independent? If yes, you are loving what you do, which really means you love who you are. So there is joy. So really think deeply about that. Here is your sadhana. This is your ninth sadhana. Everything you've learned, all of us, Vedanta and Ramayana, Bhagavad Gita, Atma Bodha, finding your calling, is this simple or complicated? Simple or complicated? Let's have a vote. Okay, all of you too. How many of you think this subjective science, Vedanta, is complicated? Put your hand up. Okay? Simple? My hand's up, so you should all... Okay. It is most simple. Who are you studying? You. What medium do you need? But so comes the second word. What's the second word after simple? Difficult. Difficult or easy? Anyone easy? Because you're not following. That's why it's easy. This is difficult. Being patient, being disciplined, being loving is difficult. And so there ends our journey. It's difficult. Plop yourself. You sit like this then, right? And so we have to introduce the third word. Instead of focusing on the difficult, we introduce another word, which is worthwhile. It is simple. It is difficult. It is worthwhile. Then I shift my focus from what I can't do to I should be doing this. Worthwhile. That's sadhana, isn't it? Simple, difficult, worthwhile. For those who live in the Northeast, where there's snow and ice, where mountains have their wings cut off. In the middle of February, when it's minus 20 outside and your car's minus 30, and you have to shovel your driveway, then the ashram driveway, and you know nobody else is going to come, but you still have to turn the lights on, light up the diya. It's simple, right? Drive and light up the diya. But difficult. Then you see those kids come, you see people working hard, and at the end of that whole experience, you realize it's worthwhile. Until the next time it's cold. Simple, difficult, worthwhile. We're on our 10th letter. Simple, difficult, worthwhile. I hope you've observed that I've given you three word phrase for each sadhana, yes? Simple, difficult, worthwhile. What was the one before that? Acceptance cures anger. You know, we have the API and so many American Physician Associations. This is better. Acceptance cures anger. You don't need physicians then. It's good for your body and mind. 10. Hastasya bhushanam danam. Satyam kanthasya bhushanam.
Satyam kanthasya bhushanam.
Shrotrasya bhushanam shastram.
Shrotrasya bhushanam shastram.
Bhushanai kim prayojanam.
Bhushanai kim prayojanam.
Together, hastasya bhushanam danam. You know this. How many of you have heard this before? Many times. What is the ornament or the jewelry for the hands? Dana, generosity. What is the ornament or jewelry for the neck? Satyam, speaking the truth here from the neck. What is the gem of the ears? Shastram, listening to the shastras. It doesn't say NPR. Doesn't say pop culture radio. It says Shastra. And if you have generosity and conviction and focus, what is the use of actual material jewelry? No? If you're happy, it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. And if you're unhappy, it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. So the focus, going back to the previous challenge or summary, is focus on being happy. When Prince Arjuna asks Bhagavan Krishna, what is the first and foundational characteristic of someone who is wise, someone who is one? What does Bhagavan say? Nishkama, putting it into simple English, they're content. Content. This person doesn't have any desires. How do you not have desires? By being content. So that's what's being highlighted in this shloka. The first and foundational quality of someone who is free is they are content. We will know that we're finding our calling when we become more content. I had said that yesterday, right? The more dharma you engage in, the more close you become to swadharma. The opposite of contentment we'll take as desire. When there's desire or any vice, what do? You try to change that. Try to escape from that. I'm really angry. Nobody likes to be angry. We may laugh. We may glorify it, but nobody likes to be angry or have that exposed to them. Right? You see kids who react to angry parents. They put their headphones on. They don't want to be there. Jealousy. Nobody wants to be jealous. And even if I come and tell you I'm jealous of you, initially you'll be like, yes, you're jealous of me. But afterwards you'll think, why? I don't even want you to be jealous. And we escape from all of this because it's unnatural. If anger were natural, it'd make us healthier, make us happier. Now, when it comes to contentment, that's most natural, isn't it? We never escape from quietude, joy, peace, love, compassion, care, concern, cherish, because it's natural. We hurt ourselves in thinking it is, I don't deserve to be happy. Then you won't be happy. Vices are unnatural. Virtues are natural. And the virtue that Gurudev writes about in the 10th letter is to forgive yourself. We forgive ourselves for light reasons, but for heavier reasons, we don't forgive ourselves. When it comes to sadhana, we keep thinking about when we faltered instead of the fact that we're trying. This is a journey of a billion intelligently lived lives. If we don't forgive ourselves, there will only be guilt and shame. That is unnatural. The fact that you're here, be proud of that. Not have pride of that, but be proud of that. The fact that so many of you are studying Ramayana, not the Katha, but the Vedanta, be proud of that. And if there's a mistake, if there's an inefficiency, forgive yourself. But that doesn't mean you forget about it. You forgive and adapt. You have to not make that mistake again or be inefficient. And Swamiji writes, like an infant. How does an infant learn how to walk? You can't even count how many times they fall, right? But finally they start to walk. With your sadhana, with your calling, with love. When you told that person you didn't like them and you said you'd try to like them, you said that angrily, correct? But if you keep doing it every day, don't do it every day, but if you keep doing it every day, slowly we will be able to grow out of how we used to be. What is the source of contentment? What is the source of contentment? Me. Me as in the spirit. That's why next year's retreat is finding the self or finding yourself. The source of contentment is oneself. But we're so extrovert that Gurudev is so beautifully written here. Though the source of contentment is ourself, we're extrovert, our first place of worship was nature. If you go historically to back in the day, what did people worship first? Nature, the sun and the moon and the stars. From nature, they started to worship idols. From that fire came metal, became that idol. And that actually shows an element of distraction too. From the idol, we started to use terminology like God, and God initially was in the form of mother. Because we felt so vulnerable that we needed someone to protect us. Then that changed too, where our idea of God went from her to him. Don't focus too much on the gender part, okay? Don't take it literally. It went from just being protected to being disciplined. I can't just be protected. I can't just be comforted all the time. I need to grow. Someone needs to tell me, this is wrong. Wake up. So it shifted to him. So from nature to an idol, to mother to father. And what is the final evolution of contentment? Yes, as oneself. From Bhagavan to Brahman, Brahman Atman. And how this went in the reverse order with our teachers. Acharya Shankara, remember S. What did he teach? Where is contentment? Self. Then you go to R. Ramanuja Acharya came, correct? Not in the self, but the self and sort of you. And then who came? M. So SRM, Madhava Acharya. Who said that it's in the idol again? So fascinating how historically we went one way, but mentally we went the other way. But the truth is, the source of contentment is you. When you look at Bhagavan, you should see a mirror. You are joy. Sat Chit Ananda. Your sadhana here for the 10th letter is worship a virtue. Worship a virtue. When you worship Bhagavan Rama as Bhagavan Rama, he stays as Bhagavan Rama. But when you worship Bhagavan Rama as Ram, what does Ram mean? Joy. You start to relate to that more. Ram, R-A-M. Okay? You start to relate to that more. It becomes real. Relatability is realness. Then I don't just believe in God, I have faith in God. So worship a virtue. Which virtue? Whatever you need. So there's a whole list you can choose from. But worship that virtue. Worshipping is becoming and then living. 11. Narasya bharanam rupam. Rupasya bharanam gunaha.
Rupasya bharanam gunaha.
Gunasya bharanam jnanam.
Gunasya bharanam jnanam.
Jnanasya bharanam kshama.
Jnanasya bharanam kshama.
Together. Narasya bharanam rupam. Rupasya bharanam gunaha. Gunasya bharanam jnanam, jnanasya bharanam kshama. The abharana, the greatness, the charm of a human is rupa. Rupa means their physique. Now, the charm or the greatness of physique, greater than that is gunaha, or their personality. You can have a beautiful face, but a horrible personality, in which case that beautiful face has very little meaning. But that's not enough either. One's personality, what is the greatness of one's personality, the evolution of personality? Jnana. To have knowledge and vision and attitude. And the greatness of knowledge, what should it bring into our lives? Virtues, and here what is identified is kshama, forgiveness. That's difficult, isn't it? I'm glad kshama was brought out in this shloka. What does Bhagavan mean? What does Bhagavan mean? The one who's bhagya, the one who's bhagya or fortunate is the one who is virtuous. One of Bhagavan's bhagyas or fortunes, there's six. One of them is dharma. Bhagavan is the most responsible, no? Are you digesting for yourself right now? Bhagavan's digesting for yourself, no? I always laughed when Swami Tejramayananda said, thank God we have involuntary functions. Imagine we had to digest for ourselves. Like, you literally have to create peristalsis, right? So at night, if you're too tired, oh, after the garba, I'm too tired. No peristalsis. That will turn into poison and kill you, correct? So thank God that Bhagavan is being responsible. When we have these bhagyas, when we have these virtues, we become the most dynamic people. What is the real fuel is virtues. Virtues make us dynamic. And why dynamic? Because there's no baggage. What really slows us down is emotional baggage. Fear of the past, anxieties of the future, excitements in the present. That's all emotional baggage. But for someone who has virtues like forgiveness, they're letting go of that baggage. Yeah, I did this, but I'm not like that anymore, as an example. Only someone who's so dynamic is someone who can bring light to others. In finding your calling, it's not just growing the most. What was the second part? Giving the most. Like Auntie talked about, how many miles does a Ganga flow? 1,531? 1,516 or? Okay. A lot. And it's not just staying in Gomukh. How many of you have been to Gomukh before? I got to Gomukh and it's ice. And the sun comes in and melts that ice and the mountain carries it. And then it gets to the ocean and comes back. It's growing and giving. That giving is that dynamic part where you shed baggage. I thought this was very thoughtfully shared in the movie On a Quest, where Swamiji kept on saying, doesn't matter. These people are saying this about you. Doesn't matter. These people are not saying this about you. Doesn't matter. The problem when it comes to us practicing virtues is desire. We always use our virtues for a particular result or pala. And when desire is there, that's not prema, it's called slave love. That's what it's called, slave love. Slave love is I'm a slave to that desire. Then that prema plus raga turns it into kama. Kama is lust, obsession. Instead of raga, if we let go of this baggage, if we only have the desire for contentment, like the previous shloka, it's not raga, it stays as anuraga. That word anurag is such a beautiful word. Untainted love, unconditional love. Like between a guru and a shishya. We should change our names to Anuragini. The sadhana for 11 is study his katha. Study his katha. What does katha mean? Study his story or study history, which we call as itihasa, like Mahabharata, Ramayana, and generally we say the Puranas also. We are such intellectual people, which is why we only believe but have no faith. And we pride ourselves. It's just intellectual ego. But when you study his katha, you study Vishnu Sahasranama Bhagavatam, we really see love in action. That dynamism. When Sugriva meets Bhagavan Rama, he goes from a coward to being courageous, right? And Hanumanji became Kapisha. He was never the lord of the monkeys, but he was known as the lord of the monkeys because it didn't matter to him, that name. Study his katha. And the more you study his katha, the more it will become your story. Most important. When we offer arati, I keep telling people, take that light, bring it to your head, then your heart, then your hands. Head, heart, hands. We just keep it here. There's enough in here. Nothing else goes in. It's plugged. Let it flow to your heart and then to your hands. With this, we complete I love you letters. Because the 12th letter is your responsibility, no? Swami Chinmayananda said, I'm not a mule guru. You have to study also. Now at least you'll read one chapter, one letter. I'm going to take 2 more minutes if you choose to. Wait, they don't have a choice. Let's go back into the first letter. I want you to tell me the summary word and the sadhana. What is the summary word for the first letter?
Nature.
Nature. Sadhana?
Seek
others' strengths. 2.
Change.
Sadhana? Know others' needs. 3. Important. Vasana 4. Vivikta. That was 3. 4. Follow what's important, which is cease and desist from excuses. 5 is evolve. If you're following, you will be evolving, and that is think about thinking. This evolution looks like, because I want to know if I'm evolving, the summary was give. Sadhana? Did someone just say get before giving? This is the last Devi retreat. Give before getting. And the seventh was sensitive. To be sensitive. And the sadhana was lit. Labor. Labor intensely, tirelessly. 8.
Accept.
And that is anger cures. Last time you're invited to a Devi retreat. Acceptance cures anger. 9. Independent. The summary for 9 is independent. And the sadhana was simple, difficult, worthwhile. 10 was content. The summary is content. And that was worship a virtue. 11 was virtuous. The summary is virtuous. And the sadhana was study his kata. I'm just going to give you the summary for 12, but you have to read. The summary is wise. Wise. And the sadhana is WWW. What does that stand for? What would the wise do? Remember all of the questions from last night? What should I do? Tell me what to do. What would the wise, WWW, what would the wise do in this circumstance, in this conversation with this person? What would the wise do? You, your ray is, your reflection adventure of the year, you own any of these letters, any of these summaries, any of these sadhanas. And the promise from our rishis through Puja Gurudev to this environment, you will find your calling. You will love who you are, love what you do, love life. That is Advaita, which is joy. Any letter, any summary, any sadhana, own it. Again, which is why we didn't go through 12. So you feel that ownership for 12. And if you are inspired, go back to 1 and 7 and so on. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti 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 hi, harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha, harihi om.
Go to temple today.